She is a medical officer from Ghana and currently a first-year PhD student at the UCLA School of Public Health. She obtained her MBCHB at the University of Ghana Medical School in March 2007 and her MPH from UCLA in June of this year. Her interest areas include international health and maternal and child health, and this presentation is the work she did of her field work for the MPH program carried out in Ghana in the summer of 2010. And the program is implementing community-based health program projects and a case study of nutrition and malaria control for a child support project in Ghana. Patient.
Thank you. My title is a mouthful. So I'm presenting a case study of the Nutrition and Malaria Control for Child Survival Project. As I said, this was for my field work for the MPH program. I have no relationships to disclose. I'll run through the background to orient you to the project and then spend time discussing issues related to implementation of the project. So why nutrition and malaria? Malnutrition is the single most important underlying cause of childhood mortality, accounting both directly and indirectly to about 50% of these deaths. This is potentiated by a vicious cycle of infection and undernutrition. The relationship between malaria and nutrition is that malnutrition makes malaria more severe. Children who have malaria tend to get malnutrition also. The combination between underweight, anemia, and malnutrition have this been described as, deadly. Malaria is the single largest killer of children in Ghana, contributing up to about a quarter of childhood deaths. Undernutrition is also very common, with more than a quarter of children stunted, with variable distributions in the region. So in the Upper East region of Ghana, where I did this assessment, about 36% of children have some level of stunting. There's also a high prevalence of micronutrient deficiencies, with about 8 in 10 children in Ghana having some level of anemia. In the Upper East region, where we did this assessment, about 9 in 10 children have some level of anemia. So the goals of the Nutrition and Malaria Control for Child Survival project is to reduce mortality among children under 2 years through improved utilization of selected community-based health and nutrition services directly related to nutrition outcomes, and also to improve utilization of long-lasting insecticide-treated nets to reduce malaria-related morbidity and mortality in children under 5 and pregnant women. Ghana is on the western coast of Africa. This project is a national project. It's being implemented nationwide in selected districts. Before the assessment, it was in the Bongo district of the Upper East region, which is on the northeast border of Ghana. Bongo district is a largely rural area. About 90% of the population are engaged in subsistence farming. Health services are inadequate. It's organized around one district hospital and several peripheral health units. And access to health services is a major issue, mainly because of the poor nature of the road. There's not an inch of tarred road in the whole of the Bongo district. For the purposes of health service delivery, the district is divided into 6 sub-districts, which I'll be talking about as I go on. So the targets for the program are children under 2 years and pregnant women, even though the whole community are secondary targets. The principal change agents for the community-based aspect of the project are volunteers who are trained as community child group promoters, who are referring to as group promoters subsequently. They are selected from within their communities and trained to carry out monthly growth promotion services. So during these monthly growth promotion services, sessions, they mobilize women with children under 2 years, they provide health education on selected topics, they weigh the children, assess their growth, and counsel them appropriately. They also make referrals and home visits. I must say that these volunteers are mainly, the basic requirement is that you must have a primary school education. So most of them have no education beyond high school. So for our assessment, at the time I was doing my field work, the project was being scaled up from Bongo District, where it was started, to the rest of the region. And so what I was asked to do is look at the implementation in the Bongo District, see how it was going on, so we could apply it to the rest of the districts. So our specific objectives were to look at the fidelity of implementation, to identify any challenges in the implementation process, and wanted to identify perceptions of stakeholders about the project, what they thought about the project, and the role these growth promoters were playing. This was a rapid assessment, but we looked at key informants interviews. So we interviewed health workers at the district and in each of the sub-districts. I mentioned that six sub-districts. We interviewed growth promoters in each of the six sub-districts, and also community implementation committee members, which I won't have time to go into their role. We also had exit interviews with caregivers in one community in each sub-district. So we had a total of about 40 interviews. We had two focus groups, one with the growth promoters and another with the caregivers in one of the communities. And then we did structured observations in one community in each of the sub-districts. And finally, we reviewed records related to the project. So what did we find? So at 1.5 years since the inception of the project, 36 communities in the district had been enrolled in. This represented 71% of the targeted communities. 162 volunteers had been trained as growth promoters. These volunteers had been trained during an initial 5-day training, but there had been no follow-up training after the initial training. 4 or 5 were trained for each of the communities. They had started organizing monthly group promotion sessions in each of the communities in the district. The problem, however, was that of the 162 volunteers trained as group promoters, not all were working. And as at the time of the assessment, the district could not even give us figures of how many volunteers were actually working. Figures obtained in the sub-districts were really inconsistent. During our structured observations, however, it was only in one of the communities that we had all, at least 4 volunteers present. Most other communities had 2 or 3 present. Growth promoters interviewed mentioned that the main reasons why their colleagues were leaving because that there was a lack of incentives in the project. But other reasons they mentioned were some people had left for further education to take up new jobs and childbirth. It must be noted this is a volunteer project, so they were not being offered anything. And so as and when they found better things to do, in quotes, they left. So we asked them what they wanted as incentives, since they said it was because of incentives their colleagues were leaving. Interestingly, these were the things they mentioned, that they wanted Wellington boots and raincoats to facilitate their work during the rainy season. They wanted rubber files to protect their books from the rain. They wanted boxes for their materials. They were also very interested in some form of identification. Some mentioned T-shirts, others aprons or badges. And they said they wanted soap to wash up because, I mean, most of them said during sessions they had kids urinating on them and there was nothing to wash up afterwards. Some mentioned bicycles to facilitate transportation and some form of allowance. So growth promotion sessions, as I said, were being organized in all the communities. The major problem was finding appropriate sites for these sessions. So in 4 of the communities we visited, the sessions were being held under trees. Only 2 of them had structures. And this was a concern for them because they said rain usually disrupted sessions. The trees were enough when it was just hot and sunny, but when it rained, then they had to, cancel sessions. Also, it was difficult finding seats for caregivers when they came for the sessions. These are pictures at 3 different sites. And like you can see, there were very few seats available for the women as they brought their kids. The project requires that they set up workstations for various things, weighing, counseling, entering records. But at most sites, there was only 1 table available, and this made it very difficult for them to set up workstations. Again, these are 2 different sites, mainly with 1 table, and growth promoters are either standing or working on the ground. The project lists a number of tools as necessary for implementation of the project. So we looked at how many of these tools were available in the community. So none of the communities we visited had all the tools that have been listed as required. Mostly the tools that were missing were counseling cards, which were necessary for counseling. Also, they were supposed to have insecticide treated nets available at the site, either for distribution or at sale at a reduced cost. Only 1 community had these. No community had the growth promoter's manual, which was supposed to guide the sessions. Also, referral sheets, oral rehydration salts, disinfectant soaps were not available in any of the communities we visited. However, They all had weighing scales, which is necessary for weighing. They had weighing pans for weighing the kids. And most of the scales were hung on the tree, as you can see in there. They also had the child health record card, which is shown there, which is required for assessing if a child is gaining adequate weight or not. And also the expected minimum weight tables, which are also tables to help them assess if a child has gained adequate weight or not. Generally, they knew how to weigh the kids. The problem, however, was with recording and assessing if a child was gaining adequate weight or not. Some were doing well in about two of the communities. Growth promoters had difficulty in determining if a child was gaining adequate weight or not. And we found this by going through the child health records to determine which kids had been identified as gaining adequate weight. And we found kids who had not been identified. Counseling was supposed to be offered to everyone. In most communities, counseling was inadequate. In some, no counseling was being done at all. In those places where counseling was being done, it was only offered to those kids they had identified as being underweight. They had other issues with filling out their registers, from which all other records are collected. So we looked at the monthly summaries, but we didn't use them because of the issues we found in how they filled some of these forms. They were doing some home visits. Again, these were not enough. Mainly, they were doing 2 to 3 visits in a month. And they were not recording the visits in the book, so actually there was no evidence that they were doing the visits, even though they have these home visits, visit books given to them. Some caregivers said they had been visited and they really appreciated those visits. Others had not been visited. Health workers also attested that some visits had been done because they had been able to help identify pregnant women in their communities and referring them for antenatal clinics. Growth promoters mentioned their inability to carry out enough visits, mainly as due to the fact that they had no means of transportation, and so they had to walk around for some of these visits. So supervision was a major issue with this project. They had a supervisory plan which was available at the district, but the plan was not being adhered to. There were very few visits from the sub-district and the district and regional team who were supposed to supervise these volunteers at the communities. Community health nurses in each sub-district had been assigned to each of the intervention communities. They were present during our visits. However, they were there offering vaccinations, not supervising the volunteers. Also, there were issues that they could not identify because they had not been trained in the project, and so they were not that familiar with the project also to provide efficient supervision. Other challenges I couldn't go into, they had to form a district advisory council. They had issues with organizing meetings for these. Also, they had these community implementation committee members who were not really playing their expected role because some of them did not even know what they were supposed to do. There were problems in the reporting system in terms of the flow from the district to the regional to the national level. And like all our programs, there was inadequate funding for most of the things they needed to do. We asked volunteers what they thought about the project. And not just volunteers, health workers, caregivers, and the volunteers. And generally, they thought the project was a very good one. Health workers thought it was an important and was a necessary project in their communities because it had increased coverage for child welfare and safe motherhood services. Other reasons they mentioned was it had made community mobilization quite easy because these volunteers were on the ground able to help them mobilize for any health education project, and that their communities were more informed about health issues and had brought in additional resources to the community. We asked growth promoters what they think about the project. Also, they thought it was a very good project. And then they thought they were playing a very important role in their community due to the contributions mentioned by the health workers. Some actually thought they had contributed to a decrease in the prevalence of and incidence of malnutrition, malaria in their community. Interestingly, this was just a quote from one of the focus groups. So most of our communities are under remote areas where the clinics and hospitals are far. To reach hospital is just too far for them to reach there or get there. Second, this project came to eradicate or reduce death rates of children 0 to 2 years and pregnancy-related deaths. And by so doing, the project has come to make us counsel pregnant women and lactating mothers. We go for home visits and meet pregnant mothers. We counsel them to always attend weighing sessions to know how they are progressing and the age of their pregnancy. So this was just in response to questions about what they think about the project in general. Also, the project has made them to be recognized in the community. And this was another quote. Said, I see myself as a very important person in the community because if there are any problems in the community with their health side, even at midnight, they will come and wake me up. So I see that I'm also an important person in my community. Also, they had earned some prestigious position in their community by virtue of the role they were playing in the project. So another quote, I'm happy because in my community, if they mention the chief, the assembly person, and any other two opinion leaders, by all means, they will mention my name too. They would add my name to the list. I believe that one day, God willing, if I contest assembly elections, which are the local elections, I am going to win. So they thought that the project has made them like very important people in the community. We asked group promoters, caregivers, what they thought about the project. And they also said it was, beneficial to them because they didn't have to travel to the district hospital now to have their kids wait. Also, it had decreased the time they spent because they didn't have to go to join the large crowd at the district hospital. And they were being offered more health education. They were happy with the work of the group promoters. We asked them what they thought about their role, considering that they are not health professionals, but they are carrying out this role. And they were happy with them because they said their own people who are helping in healthcare delivery, they understand their situations better, they treat them better than the nurses, and they are readily accessible in the community for healthcare advice. So, and now this is a quote from the focus group with caregivers. So what they do, I'm happy, is that when you get there and they weigh the child, they see the child's weight is not plenty, they teach you. They teach you what to do when you get some. You should do this and do that so your child have good health. That is what will give us all happiness. So, like I said, the main reason why we looked at this project was to see how the implementation was going on. Basically, we know that a program will fail if there's a flaw theory being used in planning the program or the implementation is not being done well. For this project, the issue was with the implementation. It's a really well-conceptualized project. The problem we found with the NNC-CSP is not peculiar to this project or to Ghana. It's there are problems that are found in many community health-based projects. But we do know that key to the successful implementation of these projects are the selection process, community involvement, initial training, and follow-up training also very important, as well as effective provision, logistical support, incentives, and support from the local health service. Other issues this assessment brought up was the use of unpaid volunteers, considering the cost, short-term, long-term cost involved in this. Also, there's a lot of literature about the use of unpaid volunteers as to whether it is cost-effective in terms of attrition and how much you have to spend retraining volunteers or just paying volunteers and have them staying for a longer period, which we can't go into further. So our recommendations at the various levels were mainly related to these issues as to how they can improve supervision training and also provide incentives for the volunteers. We also, made some recommendations related to logistics and community involvement in the whole process. The same recommendations were made to the national level, but with different emphasis also. So the main limitation of this assessment was that it was a rapid appraisal. It was a one-time assessment in one district, so we can't generalize it. But highlight some of the challenges in implementing these projects in developing settings. It, however, brings to bear the impact that community health workers are important. They can play an important role in improving access to basic preventive services, but we need to put in more efforts to make them more effective at their work. I'd like to acknowledge my supervisors and also staff of the Regional Health Directorate, the District Health Directorate, and also the Drapkin Foundation for funding my project to Ghana. Thank you.